You guys, doing another Flickers of Fear for y'all today. It's my little movie review show. Hate to tell you, but we're doing another arty farty one today. But that's kind of one of the reasons that I started doing this little offshoot show, just so I could do like some arty farty stuff, and you know what I mean. So I dig that kind of stuff. It's so whatever. But yeah, so this is one that has actually been on my watch list for fucking years because I kept seeing it come up on, best horror movies, best vampire movies, that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, man, I really need to get around to watching that, especially because it's all over like the different streaming services you can watch. I watched it on Shudder actually, but I think it was on Netflix. I don't know if it is anymore, but it's on Amazon Prime. Actually, now I think you can, as of this recording at least, I think you can watch it on Tubi for free. So there's absolutely no excuse if you wanted to see this one now. It's pretty much everywhere. And this is the movie that came out in 2014. And it's called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. This was the debut feature film of Anna Lily Amirpour, who since then has gone on. I think she's made a couple movies since then, one of which was called The Bad Batch, which I've actually heard quite a bit about, but I haven't got around to seeing. I think it's kind of like a cannibal love story type of situation. So I'll probably watch that one as well. And I think she's made a couple other ones too since then. This movie in particular, she had made a short film that was called the same thing, and I guess it kind of got around, and she started an Indiegogo campaign back in 2012 or 2013 to get the money to expand this into a feature film, and she was successful in doing that. So, this film was, it's very, very low budget, but honestly, the cinematography in it is so gorgeous that I mean, I really didn't notice. Like, 'cause when I looked at how much I think she asked, like, in the original Indiegogo campaign, I think she asked for like $55,000, and she got like over that. Like, I think she got 56,000 or 57,000 and ended up shooting it. And this is, like I said, you don't need a lot of bells and whistles if you have like a cool concept and you have people that know what they're doing, like behind the camera. Because, like I said, one of the best things about this movie is the cinematography. It is beautiful. It is like, it's black and white, and it looks fucking gorgeous. It's one of the most beautiful movies that came out like in the last 20 years, easily. It's just like a gorgeous looking movie. And it's kind of sad that it didn't really get any awards for the cinematography. One of my other favorite things about this is actually the score, the soundtrack, and the sound design. It's very interesting because it has a lot of kind of like 80s influenced kind of indie rock pop type stuff in it too. But then it also kind of has a little bit of like a Western kind of vibe to it, which is interesting because, so I guess like Anna Lily Amirpour, she is Iranian, but she was actually born in the UK. She was born in England. And she ended up moving to, I think, Florida, actually, Miami, Florida, with her family when she was a kid. And then they moved out to California, where she went to high school and subsequently to college. So she has a very interesting, and she's always kind of been into, I think she was in a band for a while. Like, she sang and played bass in a band, and she works as a DJ also. So she's really, really into music. And she said that when she first came to the United States, she was very struck by all the kind of American pop music and the culture and everything like that. So I kind of feel like this movie was a really kind of personal thing for her because she said that she kind of took everything that she loved and was obsessed with and put it all into this one movie. Now, like I said, this is, I'm not gonna lie to you, this is a very arty movie. So if you're not into that, then you will probably not dig it. Like, you might just think it's boring or nothing happens or whatever. Like, stuff does happen in it. But it's not, it's kind of like, I'm gonna throw out some movies that this reminded me of. And some of this stuff is stuff that she said were like big influences on her. She was really into, she's basically called this like the love child of David Lynch and Sergio Leone. She really likes all the old spaghetti westerns. So this one has a very kind of like Man with No Name kind of vibe to it, with the score and just kind of the way the character is. Also, in the sound design and stuff like that, gives a very early Lynch, like Eraserhead type of vibe, has that kind of going on too. Probably what this reminded me of the most was Jim Jarmusch. Stranger Than Paradise, for sure. Only Lovers Left Alive, which I covered not too long ago. this is kind of like that kind of thing. And also, as far as vampire films go, this is very much in the same vein as something like Let the Right One In or The Addiction with Lily Taylor, if anybody remembers that one. That was actually a good one. I think Shudder just added that. I'll have to do that one too. There was one called Nadia that I think had Christopher Walken in it, if I'm not mistaken. So it kind of gives me that sort of vibe too. So it's a vampire film, but it's also, it has horror elements, but it's also mostly kind of like, well, I don't even know mostly. It's almost, I don't want to say pastiche because that sounds like I'm denigrating it. And it's, but I just kind of mean it's this sort of collage. Maybe that's like a better, like less loaded word. It's kind of like a collage of all of these influences that she really is into. So it's almost kind of like it's a horror movie, but it's also kind of like a Western. And it's also kind of like a 50s homage to like a James Dean type of movie, and it also has like a lot of romance to it, so it doesn't really fit comfortably in one genre, but I think that's what's kind of cool about it actually, because it's just one of those, I mean, for a first feature to kind of, I guess, kind of have the confidence to make something like this that, like I said, can't really be slotted into any one genre, and it just kind of like mixes up genres, but in a really interesting kind of way. So I think that's like a really cool thing that she did. Also, she's really into graphic novels, which she said that she got a lot of the ideas for the look of this, because like I said, the cinematography, that's the black and white cinematography is just beautiful, that she got that from graphic novels, comic books, and actually the fictional city that's in the movie, which is called Bad City. I'm pretty sure that she meant that as like an homage to Frank Miller, Sin City. So there's that as well. Also, if you have read the graphic novel Persepolis, I believe they made an animated film out of it, although I don't remember if I've seen it. I read the graphic novel, but I don't think I saw the thing. You'll kind of get that kind of vibe too. So if any of that sounds like your cup of tea, like if any of those movies I mentioned, you know, if you like any of those or you like that kind of vibe, then you will probably really, really dig this. So what this movie is about, like I said, essentially it's kind of like a vampire story, but there's a bunch of other stuff going on too. So at the beginning of the movie, we're introduced, and I should say too, that even though this movie is set in a fictional Iranian city, it's supposed to be set in Iran, but not, and it's in Persian or Farsi if you prefer, but it was actually shot in Taft, California. So that's actually not Iran, but it's supposed to be that. But you know what I mean? It's interesting because, like I said, it's this kind of cross-cultural collage, which kind of like brings up a lot of interesting sort of things that you can sort of bring to it. So there's this young guy who's very James Dean-y looking. He's got the white t-shirt and the jeans and the kind of pompadour-y kind of hair. And he works as like, he's like a gardener, a landscaper, just like a handyman type dude. And he doesn't have a lot of money, but he works for kind of wealthy people. And he has worked really hard and has saved up all this money to buy this gorgeous, like classic car. I can't remember what kind of car it is. Sorry, I'm not like really a car person, but you know, it's also, like I said, it's a very James Dean-y type situation. And this is kind of like, you know, this place is called Bad City, and so it's this kind of shitty, you know, there's like oil derricks and there's all kind of like rundown kind of shit everywhere. And, you know, there's drug dealers and prostitutes, and so it's like a bad place. It seems like his car is kind of like the one thing. He saved up all this money and he's really, really proud of it because that's like the one thing that he has that's awesome. Now, he lives with his dad, Hossein, who is a heroin addict. Now, what ends up happening with this is that there's a drug dealer who, I guess, has been selling the dad the heroin, and his name is Saeed. And I guess, like, since the dad has been, like, you know, taking all this heroin, like, on the, like, on credit, I guess. And so it's like, so he owes Saeed all this money. And obviously the dad doesn't have any money because he's kind of like, he's old and he kind of like can't do anything. He just kind of lays around and does heroin all the time. Much to Arash, if I didn't say Arash is the James Dean-y guy, much to Arash's chagrin, who's out there working his ass off and dad's just taking all his money or whatever. So this drug dealer comes and basically says, well, your dad owes me all this money, so I'm going to take your car. So Arash obviously is very, very upset about this, and he ends up doing kind of a bad thing, but kind of an understandable thing, where he goes to the house of this one young woman that he works for, like this one wealthy woman, and while she's not looking, he steals a pair of like diamond earrings or like really expensive earrings, like trying to get some of the money back or trying to like trade it back for the car. Now Saeed, the drug dealer, then we're kind of following him, and he's just kind of this, he looks essentially like exactly like what you'd expect like a drug dealer to look like, I guess. He's just kind of like, he's got like the bleached hair and he's got like tattoos on his neck and all this other kind of stuff. So he's walking around and he sees this girl. Now this girl, the girl that walks home alone at night, is never given a name. She's just the girl. And she is wearing like a black chador just like over her whole thing. And, but she's wearing makeup though. She has like it's like eyeliner and lipstick and stuff. And I have to say that that actress whose name is Sheila Vand is beautiful. She is just like, and she's like perfect for this because she has this really like gorgeous, she's like this otherworldly kind of beauty to her. And, so she just, I mean, she looks so great. She's got such a great face. But yeah, so she's kind of just standing there sort of creepily. And so Saeed, I guess he thinks that she's a hooker, and you know, so he's like, oh okay, I'm down with this, let's go back to my place. And he's trying to be all cool, like putting the techno music on and putting out some lines of coke and all this other stuff, and she's just kind of standing there staring at him. And then you're like, huh, I wonder what this is all about. And then she kind of like gets all up in his face, and then like little fangs pop out, ka-chunk, and she bites his finger off and then ends up killing him. So that happens. So she's going around at night. Like I said, she can go around by herself at night because she's a vampire, and so anybody fucks with her, then she's just gonna do it. Now it's interesting because in this, she's a vampire, but she still has like some humanity to her seemingly, because she doesn't just like attack people at random. She seems to kind of target bad people largely, although you can tell that when she's like meets good people, she's still kind of like tempted because, you know, blood and everything. But she seems like able to, like I said, much like Let the Right One In or something like that. And there is like a big like romance aspect to this movie as well. So she kills Saeed, the drug dealer, and kind of just leaves him there, fingerless and dead. And so then Arash happens to come to the drug dealer's house because he's like, hey, I got these diamond earrings. You know, he wants to trade it back to get his car back. And then he finds his ass like dead in there. And he's like, oh, well, shit. Well, I'm just going to take all this money and these drugs, and I'm going to quit my job and just, like, you know, have all this money and be a drug dealer. So, you know, again, understandable. So later on, he actually ends up going to this costume party, and he's dressed up like Dracula. And while he's at the party, he's, like, talking to these other girls that he knows. And because he stole all the drugs from the drug dealer, he's like, oh, I'm just going to take some of this ecstasy. So he does that. And when he leaves the party, he's just kind of like wandering around in the street going like, wow, man, you know what I mean? Like just looking at the lights and everything. So this happened. And like I said, Arash, even though, yes, he stole earrings, yes, he stole a bunch of money and, you know, and drugs and stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm a drug dealer now. But it's like, he's still a good guy. Like you can tell he's a good guy. And, you know, he's kind of got fucked over by life. His dad's kind of useless and, you know, kind of takes all his money and just lays there doing drugs. So it's like, you know, and like I said, he seems like a good dude. So it's like, even though he does do some like stuff that maybe is questionable, he still comes across as like a nice man who's just like doing what he's got to do in this kind of like shithole place that they live. So he's wandering around in the street, and then you see the girl, and she's kind of like looking at him. And at first you're kind of like, because you've spent like quite a bit of this movie so far with Arash, and he's, like I said, he's a good dude. And you're just kind of like, oh man, like you kind of think that the girl's going to kill him, right? But apparently it's not that. She's kind of like fascinated by him. Maybe because he's dressed like Dracula, maybe because she can tell that he's a nice person, but she just kind of gets interested in him. And he just kind of like, he's kind of like whacked out of his mind on ecstasy or whatever, but she kind of gets him back to her apartment, or she has this kind of like basement studio that she lives in, and it's all covered with like posters. She's got posters like Madonna and like the Bee Gees and stuff like that back there. And she's, when she's back at her house, she kind of wears this kind of very new wavy looking like black and white striped shirt, very stylish. And then there's this kind of long scene where she puts this song on. It's this great song, man. It's called, I think it's called Death by the White Lies. And she puts that on. And in the movie, like, it's pretty much the whole song plays while the two of them are kind of like, you know, kind of swaying around each other and stuff. And like I said, it's kind of cool because it's like nothing, they don't really talk or anything like that, but it's almost like you're afraid that something's going to happen because it's like, you still don't know, because he's kind of going back with his neck like that. And you still don't know. You haven't seen enough of the girl to know if she's just like a monster and she's just like seducing. Cause she kind of did the same thing to Saeed when she picked him up. She was just kind of like pretending that she was all, you know, she had makeup on and she was kind of pretending to be seductive and everything. And then she kind of ate him. So you're kind of thinking that maybe the same thing is going to happen here, but it doesn't happen. So she almost kind of like feels this kind of like affinity with him. And I think that, I was reading some interviews with, Anna Lily Amirpour about this. And she said that she actually wrote this story because she was kind of like lonely. So she kind of, I guess, you know, maybe this is not what she meant, but she seems to like these kind of lonely, marginalized characters that are kind of just like wandering around in the night and are not really like, don't fit in anywhere. So I think that maybe she kind of in some way saw herself in the girl, you know, in the vampire character. I will note too that Anna Lily Amirpour is also like a real big skateboarder. And so whenever you see the girl, the vampire, skateboarding in this, because there's a great scene of her like skateboarding down the street at night with her chador kind of flying out around like it's like fucking bat wings and stuff. That was actually Anna Lily herself, because she's real into skateboarding. So like I said, oh, I forgot to say too that another big influence on this is Nosferatu, the original one. And I think that she even had like all of the actors and stuff like that watch Nosferatu as well as a bunch of spaghetti westerns like before they did this movie, so they could kind of get an idea of where she was going. Because I kind of, the cinematography too, like it's kind of really like soft and dark around the edges, almost kind of like an homage to like old silent films. So it really does kind of have that, but it's very, very crisp like in the middle, but in the, it kind of has these soft blacks around the outside, and it's like really, really cool looking. So it's almost kind of like her and Arash sort of develop, like I said, this kind of affinity. And she kind of tries to tell him, look, I'm bad, I'm a monster. But he seems like kind of okay with it. So they sort of, like I said, much like Let the Right One In, they kind of like develop this sort of relationship with one another. And even though he doesn't really find out until later, like what she is and, you know, what she's done, but it's almost kind of like he accepts her the way she is, and she's fascinated by him because even though she's a monster, he like approaches her with sympathy. And it's kind of a thing, like there's this one scene where he just like buys her a hamburger and she doesn't really eat it because obviously she's a vampire and I guess they don't eat hamburgers, but then he gives her the earrings that he stole. And she doesn't have her ears pierced, so he like pierces her ears, like she asks him to pierce them. So it's like this really kind of like sweet sort of scene. Like I said, it's almost kind of like a romance in a sense. So what ends up happening then, there's also this other prostitute named Ati, who Shahid, the drug dealer, had been real shitty to earlier. And so basically what the girl ends up doing is like getting a bunch of money from Arash, who had taken all the money from Saeed's apartment, and actually ends up giving the money to the prostitute. Because I guess, again, Saeed had been going to Ati for a long time and hadn't really been paying her. So I guess, so the girl almost kind of like, you know, goes, it's like, here's your money. You know, and then she doesn't eat her, so it's fine. Now, what ends up happening, though, is that Hossein, Arash's dad, is, like I said, really fucked up on heroin, and he has this kind of mental breakdown where he thinks that Arash has this cat. I love this cat, by the way. The cat that's in this movie is, like, super, super cute. And I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw another review of this that said that the cat actually wasn't originally in the script, But when the director, like, just saw this cat, or it was somebody's cat that she knew, or it was, like, an actor cat. I don't know if it was an actor cat. She said, this cat was just so awesome, like, personality-wise. Like, we really have to put this cat in the movie. And I really, really liked that the cat's in the movie. Because, every time, I've watched so many horror movies now that whenever I see a cat, or a dog, too, but, I mean, I'm more a cat person. But, yeah, anytime I see a dog, too, at the beginning of a horror movie, I always get really nervous because I'm like, oh man, something bad's going to happen to that cat and I'm going to be really, really upset about it. And indeed, I did have that because the cat like turns up right at the very beginning. Like the first time you meet Arash, like in the very first scene, he picks up the cat. I think it's like a white and ginger. It's a black and white movie, so it's hard to tell, but it looks like a white and ginger cat. And he picks it up and kind of carries it around. And there's like a really tense scene where Saeed, the drug dealer, has come over to like Arash and his dad's house, and he picks up the cat and he's like kind of doing, and I'm just like, oh my god, if you do something to that cat, I'm gonna be so upset. But it's like, he does, the cat lives, so it's like, it's fine, don't get upset. Because I was like so relieved. I was like, the whole movie I was just like, please don't let, because that cat is so cute and the cat is so awesome, and I really didn't want anything bad to happen to it. But yeah, so there's another scene too where Hossein, he's all fucked up on heroin, and he gets this, he has this kind of like flip out where he thinks that the cat has his dead wife's eyes and is like looking at him and like judging him and stuff, which I get that because cats do have like the very judgy kind of like kind of look. So I can see that. But obviously, you know, that's crazy, like what he's saying. But he starts flipping out about it and he's like knocking shit over and everything. Arash comes home and is like, what the fuck is your problem? And basically Arash, probably rightfully so, kicks his dad out of the house. He's like, here, take the drugs that I stole, take this money and just get out of here, like get out of my life. And sadly, this is the one time that I didn't like Arash, because he said, take the cat with you. Now it's Arash's cat, so I don't know why he would say that, but he's like, just take all the money and drugs, just get out of my life, take the cat with you. Now what ends up happening after that though is that Arash's dad Hossein goes to Ati the prostitute and you know, is trying to get some loving or whatever, and then like the girl shows up and she lets Ati go, but she ends up killing Hossein the dad. Now this kind of puts her in a little bit of an awkward position, obviously, because that's Arash's dad, although he was kind of like useless and Arash did throw him out. So there's that whole situation. But she does kill him and like drink his blood and everything. And then her and Ati, the prostitute, they basically just take the body and like dump it in a ditch someplace. Because like I said, this place is called Bad City, so there's no law enforcement, there's no nothing like that. It's kind of supposed to be like a Western where you can just do all this stuff and dump bodies wherever, and like I don't think anybody ever does anything about Saeed's body either, which she just kind of like left in his apartment. So no one's like super worried about anything. And like I said, this is a very low budget film, so it's a very small cast. So obviously they're not gonna have, hey, let's call the cops, you know, this is almost kind of like a dreamlike, you know, it's a city that doesn't exist. So it's almost kind of like this weird dreamlike, you know, liminal kind of area. So basically what ends up happening is that the girl, you know, after they dispose of Hossein's body, like she takes the cat with her, and her having the cat, well, actually Arash sees his dad's body like in the ditch or whatever, and then he notices that the girl has his cat, so he realizes, oh my gosh, like she killed my dad. And then so they kind of both get in the car and it's like very tense. The cat's kind of sitting in the middle, like looking like that, and he has to like pull over and get out, and he's like, he can't decide, because like, you know, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna, you know, I don't know if he's thinking about like killing her because of what she did, or if he's just gonna accept it. And in the end, he actually does accept it, and they just kind of like go off together, like into the sunset. So like I said, him accepting her monstrosity. So it's kind of like, I would actually love to see like a fucking sequel of this where it's like the two of them are just going around killing bad people, and you know, with the little cat like perched in the car and everything. Did I say this kind of reminded me of Near Dark a little bit too? And I wasn't the only person that said that, because Mark Kermode from BBC, like he compared it to that too. And also that other Catherine Bigelow movie, but I can't remember what it's called right now. But yeah, it kind of like reminded me of that too. But it's same kind of like crossover Western vampire feel, but also largely a love story. So, and very, very, very Jim Jarmusch-y. So, you know, not a lot of dialogue. There are a lot of like long scenes just like visual, like cool visual shit. A lot of long scenes of just like music, but the music in this is great. Like the soundtrack is great. Like a lot of really 80s, like indie kind of stuff, or at least influenced by that. And then like some kind of spaghetti westerny sounding music as well. And like I said, has a little bit of kind of like a 50s meets 80s meets German expressionist kind of vibe to it. So like I said, it's almost like this collage of all this stuff that Anna Lily Amanpour really liked. And I thought that was like a really cool way to go. Like I said, this is not going to be for everybody. Some people might just think it's very, very slow. Like I said, stuff does happen in it, but it's not a straight horror movie. It's kind of an homage to a lot of different things. And honestly, if I had to call it anything, I would say it's almost like a romance, like with some other kind of stuff doing it. But I don't know. That seems like, I don't know if I want to say that either, because that might give the wrong impression. It's just a really, really hard movie to kind of put your finger on. But like I said, if you're into like Jim Jarmusch type stuff, or you know, David Lynch or spaghetti western type stuff, and you want to see something along those lines, like in an art house sort of format, then this would probably be right up your alley. So let me know if you've seen this, what you think about it, and let me know if you've seen The Bad Batch, if that's worth watching, because I have actually heard a lot of good stuff about that. I just haven't got around to watching it yet. That's her second movie, by the way, and I really actually do want to see it if it's worth watching. But yeah, so if you have not seen this, then I would recommend, if you don't have any of the kind of like streaming services it's normally on, to think it's on Tubi for free, at least as of this recording. It's also on Shudder. Pretty sure it's on Amazon Prime as well. So check it out if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, let me know what you thought about it. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.